Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He's everything to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jude tonight. If you open your Bibles up with me. Still want to speak on the absolute. Help of the Lord. Hope you've been enjoying this series. Been having service we had Sunday. It's tremendous. I think it's time to really take a stand on what we believe, not waver in any direction, but this is what God sent us, and what God sends is what we need.
Amen.
And what we think about it really doesn't matter.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'll be preaching this Sunday, but next Wednesday. Which order is it? It's Brother Colin. That's right. And then we'll have prayer on Saturday. Fast and prayer that Saturday, and then next Sunday is Brother Nathan. So, Brother Andrew, take a little break. Pray for me. But let's maybe wrap this thought of the absolute up, I think, on Sunday. We'll see if the Lord has anything new for us after the guest ministers come through. So, if you have your Bibles again, Jude chapter, there's only one chapter. So, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. Now what were these ungodly men doing? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Go to verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to preach tonight, still on the absolute, but for a topic tonight. Herein lies rapturing faith. Herein lies rapturing faith. Let's bow our heads before him. With every head bowed, every eye closed. We approach his word. Is there a need on your heart? You'd like to make known with the lifted hand. God bless you, saints. Hands all over this place. Let's pray with all our hearts full of faith. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering us here again tonight. Lord, we could be doing all kinds of other things, but something in our hearts just wanted to be at your house and to hear from you, Lord. And we know that your word never goes out void, but you accomplish what you desire, Lord. And you said if two or three of us would gather together, you'd be here, Lord, to bring that word to pass in our lives. We believe you sent us a voice. You've gathered us from the east and west to come back to one place, and that was you, Christ the Word. Lord, and I pray that tonight you'll take the preeminence, that you'll destroy every work of the enemy in our lives and show yourself mighty in battle. Heal every sickness here tonight. Save every lost, Lord. Fill every empty. Lord God, have the preeminence in our lives. And you that know our hearts, Lord, would you grant our desires before you? That are pure by the word, Lord, may you bring it to pass for your glory. Help your children tonight, I pray. Speak through my lips, but Lord, hear through our hearts, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. As we've been speaking on the absolute, I don't know, the more we try to get more absolute on the word, the more I realize how much the world don't have an absolute. How much that there's no definitions of anything anymore. I mean, there's just... You can't say anything's black or white. You're going to get somebody mad at you.
Yeah.
I just had a student. And I actually told you she's a lesbian, and she got hair about as, I don't know, I guess it's a little bit longer than mine, maybe Brother Rodney's length, and wears baggy pants and clothes like a boy would. And one of the history teachers got a student teacher this year. And she said, can you believe that he thought I was a boy? And you just sit there. You're like, well, your name is Alexis, so I'll give you that. But other than that, what are you talking about? Why? There's no absolute anymore. Shouldn't he know that I'm a girl? Well, then dress like a girl. Wear your hair long. Put on a dress one time. Maybe somebody might think you're a girl. But see, they don't understand. I just heard that somebody else wanted to have a sex change and giving this big sob story about how hard it is to get a sex change. Oh, it's just so terrible. It's so terrible. You could even get the surgeries done. But you know what? He said, you know, if you live in Ohio, they won't let you change a birth certificate. So you're still female, even if you want to be a boy. It's pathetic, church. That's Hallelujah. Thank God for a sane mind. You know, I don't even know what to say about people like that anymore. And then they'll get mad you say, yeah, well, then pick a side already. But say, you know, because it's really hard to get health insurance. Because you know what? Women and men don't have the same body, brother, sister. And I don't need what women typically have, you know, ovarian cancer and breast cancer. Men have prostate cancer if they get, you know, it doesn't make sense to cover it the other way. So it's really hard. You know, I want to be a man, but I can't because I need to have insurance like a woman. It's like, how about you just get a mind and just be a girl? Hallelujah. Why'd I say all that? Just to show you, brothers and sisters, there ain't absolutes in the world. It's over. As far as any sort of black and white, I don't care what it is. Some people might think that murder is black, but you'll find those that think it's white. You'll find those that think adultery is black. You'll find those who think that's the way we ought to be. There's people, I even talk to young people sometimes, they say, I don't understand just committing to one girl. It's like, that just don't make any sense to me. It's like, why would you just want to be tied down to one girl? And I said, you are far away from the beaten path, son. You're on a road of so much heartache you don't understand. Because there's still a law of God. No matter what man does, God's word holds true. That if you don't do it God's way, you get sin. And when sin is conceived, it brings forth death. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that was all just to start up. We'll get warmed up here. Get the engine rubbing real good, and Dad's back from the restroom. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got here in the book of Jude. As we know, Jude was written shortly thereafter, maybe 20, 30 years after Christ had already risen from the dead and went to His glory. Praise His holy name. And already in this short period of time, Jude is coming to the brethren. Not the world now, the brethren. These are people that were message believers. These are people that had an experience with God. These were people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. These are people that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These are the ones that said, thank God He's risen and He's alive forevermore. Yet Jude says, it was needful for me to write to you. Because as I look around, I recognize you've let something slip through your fingers. What is it that you earnestly contend for the faith? You're getting too lax. You're getting too loose in your voice. You're getting too much gray in your doctrine. Sure. You're going to be called a bigot. You might as well get used to it. Yep. You're going to be called, oh, you can't say that. Yes, I can. If it's racism, it's racism. Yep. If it ain't, it ain't. That's right. Just saying somebody's white or black ain't racist. But for some reason, a girl can get up. How many saw about that Super Bowl thing they made a big deal of? Beyonce gets up there, and I see, this is what's pathetic. She had something that was supposed to be about, what was that, Black Panthers. You know, the racist group from the 60s, right around Brother Branham's time, actually. They came out, Black Panthers, going to fight for the black man, all this stuff. She come out in one of those outfits, and the thing of it is, sure, that's racist, and that's stupid, and that's dumb. Because had a white guy come out with a Ku Klux Klan on, they'd have been throwing their arms up in the air. But what's worse is the girl's about half naked, and nobody cares about that. They don't care that they got their boys out there right within 5 feet of these bunch of naked women going like this with her. Oh, just wanting to touch from her. Nobody cares about the idolatry of the woman, but they care because, oh, it hurts somebody's feelings. Somebody might get offended. Hallelujah. It just shows you it's just stupid from the ground up. The world's falling apart. Amen. But the church, look, they had given down. Now, you might not think, well, why are you preaching on those kind of things? Brother, sister, you don't understand how the devil does things. All he's got to do is slip in that much. All he's got to do is get you to compromise a little bit. And before you know it, you'll be one of those people out there that think that's okay. That can still go to church on Sunday and look, I can claim whatever I want to because I believe that the blood saves me. Praise God for the revelation this Sunday that you need to have the real revelation of the blood or you ain't saved. That's right. The blood was on the altar. The blood was already there. Christ was a bleeding, bloody lamb. But until He broke the seals and He showed it to His servants, they were lost. Amen. Amen. Jude comes, he says, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. We don't like that word. You know what exhort means? It means to correct. It means to be bold. It means to get the thing back on track. exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What God gave us once was good enough. We need to fight for what God has given us. People don't like that word. They think that it's not Christian to fight. It's absolutely Christian to fight for the word. It's not. Now, I ain't going to go fighting on feelings. That's the problem. Too many of us fight on our feelings. Well, they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. Oh, they offended me, I'm going to offend them. Well, you might as well just be like the world, like Jesus said, if you only can love those that love you, how are you any better than any sinner? But he said, love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. That's right. Pray for those that despitefully use you. And I think if we got a little bit more of that doctrine in our churches, we might actually gel together in love and actually love one another and fulfill the scriptures and not have to keep contending for the faith. That's the faith we're talking about. I pray I'm talking to somebody tonight that we need to actually put up and or shut up. Either be real Christians and fight for one another and care for one another. And sure, there's things wrong in every church. I understand that. And you might notice it. But what do you do about it?
Come on, amen.
Do you contend for the faith? Do you believe that person's still a brother?
Amen.
Do you believe they're still a sister? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to saints. For certain men are crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Now, I didn't say that. God did. That there's people that come, and all, I told you, it's one thing for a man to make mistakes. That man's got a chance to be saved. That man can be Holy Ghost filled and make mistakes, but you'll never convince me that a Holy Ghost man will get behind the pulpit and say, I know the word says this, but. I know Brother Branham said this, but. God showed me something. Oh, he did you? Wherefore went the Spirit of God from me. Isn't that right? Paul said it that way. He said, wait a minute. You think you can prophesy? What about me? He said, bear with me on folly for a little bit because you're getting too stuck up in yourself. Let me tell you, if anybody's got a right to be proud, it would be me. He said, I was circumcised the eighth day, born of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Everything you think you have, I've done so much better. Would you like Paul for your pastor? He said, hey, you think, oh, yeah, you spoke in tongues. I speak in tongues more than any of you. That's what he said. He said, oh, you suffered persecution? He said, really? Really? Persecution, huh? Somebody said a little bad about you? Well, they didn't just say bad about me. They lashed me on the back 39 times. 40 saved one. Said then another time they left me out in the river somewhere. I had to ship on a piece of wood and float around until I got back to shore. Oh, another time they stoned me. Did you know that? The good thing I called my disciples to come raise the dead, or I'd have been dead today.
Amen.
Glory to God. They came over and they started pulling. Hey, there he is. All right, come on, Paul. Let's go. Let's go preach some more. That's contending for the faith. And God might not let you be. I understand. You know what I'm saying. When Brother Bram said the first age, they asked him. He said, well, the last age have the same persecution as the first age. He said, not necessarily. But they have. It's worse. It's worse now than it was then because you can identify your enemy so much easier. But in this day, he sneaks in so much easier. He's so close to this word that all it takes is a little deviation. Why do you think the TVs are back in the message? Why do you think the things of the world are back in the churches? Why do you think we got deacons and message churches fighting about the stupid Super Bowl on Sunday? Going back and forth. Oh, man, it was rigged. Who cares? And you know what? That ain't illegal. How many knows that? NFL's entertainment. That's not. There's no law to it. It's just like making movies. You can't get mad at a movie for the way they make it. It's just entertainment. Whatever they want, they could stage every game if they wanted. You can't sue them. Now, after a while, you probably get bored with it because you say, "Well, this is dumb." I can tell. So they do whatever they want. Why? Because it's the love of money. It's still the root of all evil. That's the absolute. I don't care how you slice it. If a man ain't serving God, he's serving money. Amen. Or whatever he exalts in his mind. And the church began to let down on the word. Do you understand? But in this day, the bride will not leave the word. She has to stay with it. She's predestinated to stay there. So if you watch yourself, brother, sister, wake up. If you're letting the bar down on the word, God, stir you with the Holy Ghost and get back to the word and be a man and fight for it. Say, how do I fight for it? Don't just flip onto the internet without thinking about it. Don't just go out and look at some pretty girl without thinking about it. Don't let some jealousy get in your heart without thinking about it. Cut him off.
Amen.
Be a man. Be a man of God. Be a daughter of God. Serve your Lord. Amen. What about you sisters? What about serving your husbands? Can I embarrass you a little bit? She loves it, right? She just likes me. I try not to preach on her too much, but she said something the other day. That's been a week, couple weeks now probably. We were talking about something. I'll explain to her what I thought about it. And she said, how come you think that your way is the only right way? And I just stopped for a minute, and I just went like this and pointed out my picture of Jesus. I said, do you tell him that? Now, I ain't being boastful, but you understand. That's how churches treat the Word. You think that's the only right way? Is that the only really, Jesus, come on. You think that's it? You can't come up with something else? You sure we can't trim our hair a little bit? Are you sure we have to, you know, if I really love the Lord, will I read my Bible and pray every day? Or will I really witness for Him and think, come on, you know, I'm not a witnesser. I just can't do it. Well, then you ain't a Christian, because Jesus said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you'll receive power and you shall be my witnesses.
Amen.
Before you think Brother Andrew's got a big head, I can be wrong. But you know what the Bible said about that, sisters? And Laodicea don't like that. But He says you should serve your husband as unto the Lord. All right, let's offend the brothers too. You're supposed to serve your boss as unto the Lord.
Amen.
There, we're all short. How you feel now? Even I'm short and I'm 6'6". That's right, we need the Lord. That's right. But just rejecting that and pushing it back, that's not going to get you nowhere. It's open up your heart and say, Lord, yes, that was for me, but make me what I need to be.
Amen.
And it's hard, brothers. Look, I understand. I got a job where you can just, you know, you didn't see me. It's all right. I'll take 20 minutes here and just look at the wall or just flip this coin around for a little bit. Brother, sister, would you do that if Jesus was there? Of course you wouldn't. But He's there anyhow. God help us. Sister, it's the same. Don't, when you think about it, look, and I'm saying this as a Christian, not as a brother. You understand? It's the Word. You think, oh, I got a better idea than my husband. Brother or sister, be careful. Don't get an attitude. Stay with the Word. If it ain't against the Word, just submit. We don't like that word, but it's the truth anyhow. This is the faith I'm talking about. I'm trying to get a little deeper than this, but maybe we can't get too much deeper. Maybe we got to start right here. Why? Because the Lord loves us. That's right. He loves us to keep us on the right word, on the right path, knowing that truly Jesus is the only way. You'll never hold a marriage together outside of the Word. Oh, no, you might live in the same house. You might be in, you know, supposed to be married, but you're not. Without God in it, that jail of real, genuine love will never be there. And the world's starting to find that out. America's got divorced. There's no marriage even anticipate lasting 5 years anymore. Why? Because they know that the Bible, what it said is true. The love of many has waxed cold. But brother, sister, that wasn't talking about the church. That wasn't talking about the bride of Christ. They said there'd be no more joy in the world. He said when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction. But that's not for us. We're not going to be destroyed. We're getting out of this place.
Amen.
Amen. Don't tell me we can't love. Don't tell me we can't pray. You got to quit basing it on you and base it on the Word.
Amen.
The Word said that the bride is Jesus Christ made flesh again today. So what He did is what we do.
That's what we do right there.
The bride will not leave this Word. Coming out of the breach, 1963. I'm still on page one. That was pretty good. The breach in the Holy Spirit seal cannot be broken. You all have heard me say that people said, the devil made me do this. No, the devil didn't do it. You just wasn't sealed in. So then you see, because when you're sealed in, He sealed out, see? Now, you went out to Him. He couldn't get into you because the only way He could get into you is to come through the same process that you have. He'd have to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Then He'd be your brother. So you see, so He didn't do it. No. You just went to the borderline and come back lusting for the things of the world. He never went all the way over into Canaan, you see, across Jordan, the death to self. See, putting on the whole armor of God in 1962. Now we find that this great enemy of God thought, now as long as they believe that word, I can never get to them. Even the devil understands that one. As long as that little family in Eden keeps behind the word, I can never touch them. Neither can he today. Amen. He's still blocked off. That's right. But if I can use some real good a strategy and just reason out, I'll give some human reasons because she's human. And if I can just give human reasonings, then we'll win the battle. Satan and his angels. But then Eve gave away. So therefore, we know our enemy by his attacks. Maybe you didn't get it just right the way I said it. We know our enemy when anyone, any spirit, any person tries to disagree with God's word. Remember, that's your enemy.
Amen.
That's your enemy. We know his old attack. That's the one he broke the human. That's the one he broke the human race down. That's the way he breaks them down yet today. That's the way he gets you away from God, is to leave his word. And the only way that you can ever stay in fellowship with God and to talk to God in the cool of the evening is stay fortified in the word on both sides. Let the curtain of God's word drop all around you, and you be a drop, and you be a drop right in the middle of it. That's right. Then you're fortified. Glory to God. That's right, brother, sister. God has given us the word not to make us all feel condemned every day of our lives, that we're never measuring up, we're never doing what's right. It's that if you stay behind there, he's built that wall, as Brother Branham said. If I knew a 40-foot wall would protect my son, I'd build it 100. He said, how much more would God keep his children safe from the attacks of the enemy? And he said he didn't just build a wall. He sealed them with the Holy Ghost. And it truly is a seal. And God has restored that seal to us. Though they had it, brother, sister, though Luther had a seal in his heart, it couldn't live. So the devil could get in. And he could smoke cigarettes. Or pipes and things, and curse it all over the place. John Wesley get all legalistic. That's right. I think salvation had that you could reach in yourself sinless perfection.
Sure.
That's true. That's what they believe. Well, why? Though they had the life, they didn't have the token yet to actually seal the devil out of their experience. So they had to go to seed in a different direction. But God came on the scene. God sent us a voice. He said, get back in line. And that same bride that started the word, that never left it, that went to the grave and said, go ahead, cut my head off. I'm not afraid. Death, where's your victory? Grave, where's your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. That same bride who walked out in the first stage has returned. And by the opening of the word shows there she is. She was behind them seals. Brother, sister, when are we going to believe that's us walking today? That's us on the world. And we know the devil. We know his tactics. And we can always defeat him. Why? Because my mind is gone, brother, sister. If you're still trusting your mind, that's why you're defeated today. But if you recognize I've got the mind of Christ, I literally have God's thought about it.
Amen.
I can't be defeated. I can't be touched.
Amen.
I'm untouchable. Amen. Hallelujah. Lest Satan should, this is 2 Corinthians 2:11. Lest Satan should get advantage on us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Can you say amen? The contest, I just read this here recent. I got another quote I'll read later. 1962. Now I know that's the old saying that people, there's an old saying, and it's not so old either. People don't believe in demons in this day. But the thing to do, to my opinion, is know your enemy. And know your enemy and train for the contest that you're going to have when you meet him, because you're going to meet him. And know him, know his, know what his strength is. And then train for the contest when you do meet him. For it's one thing, sure, you're going to meet him. And so you train for the contest. Brother, sister, that's why the message in the ministry that's coming on the earth after Brother Bram's left the scene, the true God-given ministry has taken the word and shown the people what the battle is for our day now. That, look, the quotes are right, but Brother Bram didn't have a TV or an internet, but the Spirit of God came in the ministry and showed that what Brother Bram said about those influences is just the same today as it was then. That's right. It's just getting worse all the time. But Brother Bram, I mean, so many times he says something. And some of you that were even around, maybe around that time, would say, what is he talking about? What kind of kid's walking around with shaggy hair and the pants hanging down and things like that? What's he talking about? Now we look around and say, oh, yep, that's right. That's about it. That's what he said, striptease walking out there. Well, they would have actually done something about it then. But today, no, you can walk out there with nothing on. Now, ain't nobody, actually, if you say something about it, you're the one that's wrong. It's just like the one where the man went to rob a house. And he went through the window and fell down and hit his leg on a knife and sued the house for getting him cut. I think he won that case. If he didn't, it don't matter. The fact that it even became a case, somebody didn't throw the book in his face and say, shut up, you moron. It just shows you there's no stability. The world has left the word. This nation left the word 50 years ago, but the bride never will, because she is the word. That's her makeup. You ain't got to throw it down her throat. You ain't got to make her do it. She is it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. She recognizes that she's in a battle. That's why we can't keep preaching about why the Methodists are wrong and why the Baptists are wrong. That's not the battle that the bride is in today. The battle that the bride's in today is that Brother Branham said, but things have changed. I know the word said that, but it's just too hard. It was 50 years ago. Things were easier then. Sure they were, but people made sacrifices. And it's the same in our day. I understand there's no national revival, and it ain't coming back. But you know what? You might have to just sacrifice a little bit more to actually serve God. You might go through a hard time and say, man, I don't have a lot of this and a lot of that. But if God don't stay first in your life, you might as well just bankrupt everything because you're going to lose it all. Because if you're a child of God, God will not let you worship some idol. He'll put you down on your face. He'll tear you to pieces until you come crawling back to His Word. Not because He hates you, because He loves you that much.
Amen.
And if you won't listen, you know what happened. You read about the man. God will take you right off. I don't want to go down that way. I don't want to be a, you know, Saul was saved, King Saul. He was saved. But who wants that testimony? Come on now. How many wants to be a David? That wants to be a man that God could say, you are after my heart. And you know what? The bride's going to say that. Amen. Why? How can you be in love with Christ and not after His heart? How can you want Him and not want His heart? You're just deceiving yourself. You're just religious. But I thank God I've received the real Holy Ghost, the real love for God that shed abroad in my heart, that I love Him enough to stay on His Word. I love Him enough to be a voice against all this sin and all this smoke. Sure, you look like a negative Nancy. All they say, man, all you got to do is say bad about everything. Well, let something good happen. Show me a soul get right with God. Maybe I'll get happy about that. But as long as I watch all of you walling around in sin and knowing in my heart that if you don't get it right, I'm not going to meet you again until the white throne judgment. And that'll be it. You'll be done. You want me to smile about it? Come on. You want me to just lie to you and say, oh, it's all right? It's not. That's what politics do. That's what they do. They just watch, and they did it in ancient Rome. They would just, you know what they started? Actually, you want to know what they really brought in? Sports. They brought in sports. Why? To detract them, to detract the people's attention, to realize that the government was falling apart before it actually did. That they were already weakened on every corner. There was already civil unrest. That's why East and West Roman Empire happened, and then that separated them too much to where the barbarians could come in and take it all out. But during that time when it looked like things were going to fall apart, they distracted the people to keep them unified as much as possible. So what you do is you get them to start segregating into little groups and little cliques and little things to keep it so that they won't worry about the big picture as long as their little group's okay. So that's why we're the Panthers now. Or whatever, what else? The Broncos. And when I'm a Buckeye. You hear people say that? I'm a Buckeye. Really? I never seen you put the pads on. I didn't see you training. It's a delusion. But why? Why is it? And look, some of us forget this, but the NFL only started 50 years ago. Before that, it was just a recreation thing. Sure, they had bigger leagues and things, but it wasn't really made to make millions. But then they realized, whoa, man, our nation's about to fall apart. We got to get these people distracted so they keep following us without questioning what we're doing. So you know what we'll do? We'll just make a National Football League, and then we'll make an NBA, and then we'll make this. And now everything in the world is sports. Everything. That's what they want to know in high school. You know, they've already asked me. You don't let your son play sports? He's 4. How about I teach him how to talk and to add and to live? Like, what are you talking about? What is up with these tangents? I don't know. But let's stay on the Word, brother, sister. The devil's trying to fight us just to get us to give up on this Word just a little bit.
Sure.
That's what I'm really trying to get us to see. This Word is an absolute. And if you leave it, you're leaving rapturing faith. Because you're trying to go get the rapturing faith, and God has shown you where it is. It's in this message. It ain't nowhere else. It ain't in Pentecostal doctrine. It ain't in Benny Hinn or any other one of these names you want to throw around. You can quote some of the things, that's fine. But if it don't agree with what God said through this prophet, it is not going to get you in a rapture. No, it won't. Hallelujah. Now, this is easy to say in concept, that I'm going to stand for the Word. I'm going to keep the influences of the world away from me. But brother, sister, you know what? That becomes people sometimes. That becomes people you can't be with. That comes people that you have to offend. And that's where you find out, am I really going to stand for this or not? Or am I going to be ashamed of him or not? And that's when things get hard. That's where rubber meets the road. That's right. And God allows it. See, and I'm just going to preach what I think about it. And that's one of those things. But let's just take the weather, for instance. So many times people will say, oh, man, oh, the devil. He just brought that snowstorm. That devil. Oh, man, always devil. And not recognizing, why did God allow him to do it? So let us sink in. Maybe God was testing your faith.
Sure.
You know, we find a way. If one of you were dying and you got to the hospital, we find a way. And I don't say we shouldn't. We should. That's right. But if our souls really mean what they do to us, and we understand that God would talk to us, I mean, it got real quiet in here real fast. But look, that's the truth. I believe that's God testing our faith. I don't think it's the devil. Why did it just snow on Wednesday today? Come on. Been nice all week. It's been nice for weeks on end. Actually, it's been 60-degree weather. Oh, man, first time it's on a Wednesday. Didn't see that coming. I have. I just gave up on thinking about it. You know, God allows that. He wants to see those that are really his. Because God got, do you understand we're in the same time it was in Jesus' day, where he got to the end of his ministry, and he began to preach the word, and he began, as Brother Bram said, to shake the parasites off. And we'll say that, oh, yeah, shake off lust and things. No, these were people. These were people that he knew didn't really want the word. And he got done fooling with them. I've actually heard other pastors that are starting to do this. They put up with something for years and years and years and years, and they finally are just like, I'm done with it. We're going to preach the word. And brother, you know what? You're not on it. You can't be a deacon if you're not on the word. I'm sorry. I love you, but got to get this out. Because if we won't come back to the word, we'll never make it.
Amen.
This is the only way. But the bride will fight for this word.
Amen.
She'll stand on it. She'll say it in the face of whoever.
Amen.
And I know we got, big names in the message. But brother, sister, I love them. I do. But if they leave the word, they're out. If I leave the word, I'm out. Because all it does is prove that the seed that I have is not really the word of God. Because if the seed's the word, I will put fruit forth. Fruit. There we go. That is the word. Every age has come to this test. Let's turn to Titus for a minute. Titus 1. Thank the Lord. Titus 1, or 1:10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Listen to this. Whose mouths must be stopped. Who subvert whole houses, teaching things that they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. The love of money is the root of all evil always. That's right. One of them themselves, even a prophet of their own, said that Cretans are always liars, evil bellies, or beasts, slow bellies. This witness isn't true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, that's just words on a page, brother, sister, but Paul meant what he said. Paul called out these men. He said, these are evil workers. He said, later on, he'll call people out by name and said, it's this man, it's this man. Why? Because he knew they would not receive the correction of the word. Thus, they were not the word they claimed to be. And he said, where are these, especially those who are trying to live in the reflection of a day gone by? He said, these Jewish fables. Oh, Brother Branham said, you know, I'm going to ride this trail again. So that means he's coming back. Nice Jewish fable. Because what's the fruit of that? No more miracles. Don't bother preaching because we can't get nobody saved. We might as well not have any preachers because we need Brother Branham. Even though the same man said, they said, Brother Branham, should we even preach? He said, sure, what are you talking about? Get on the field. We need all that we can. Brother, if you got to call God, get out there and do something. He says, quit sitting on your hands. That don't do nothing for God. Preach His word.
Amen.
Amen. But you might have to do this. Hallelujah. So I told you, I got that college student. It's like, oh man, I want to be a preacher someday. And I just believe in giving positive thoughts and being positive. Sure, that's good. We ought to have a positive confession in Christ, but not in the world. And if you see a soul that's in the world, you don't have a positive confession for them yet. All you have is a positive direction for them to go. And that's to the word.
Amen.
Come away from that. And when you hear voices coming contrary, you can't say, well, that's a brother's thought, that's okay. You guys, that's the devil.
Yeah.
That's the devil's reasoning coming through that man.
Amen.
When people preach it to where we got to wait for Brother Branham to get back. Brother, that's a devil.
Right.
There's so many preachers that Brother Branham came back and gave his word to some man in Dayton, Ohio, who got 8 pages of inspiration from Brother Branham that contradict all 1,200 messages he preached before. That's the devil.
Amen.
We got people saying, oh, I can't say by the word you can't trim your hair, but, you know, don't cut it. That's the devil.
Right.
We got preachers say, oh, I know Brother Branham said we shouldn't wear high heels, but that, you know, that's just kind of an interpretation out of Isaiah. Shut up. He saw a vision.
Amen.
And that woman, remember, he said, I can do it. I can walk that holiness path. And I thought that was Pentecostals. I'm beginning to believe that was message believers.
Amen.
That talked to Brother Branham. They talked to the word to its face. Said, I can do it. I can walk that Holy Ghost path with these on.
Yeah. Sure.
And if she just would have stumbled a little bit, maybe the Lord and reaped, sure, maybe something, but that's not what happened. She fell down and screamed in fire.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to get me to say high heels are all right.
No.
There's plenty that won't worry about it. Let's leave it alone. Let them sing up in front of everybody. Let them be piano players. Strutting around them stupid high heels. The high heels were made for one reason. Show off your rear, sis. Saying it flat because you need to understand that that's the devil's device.
Amen.
Amen. What a terrible age we live in, isn't it? But what a great age we live in. Because we know, look, if you get discouraged, remember, God is always in contrast to the devil. So if he's always getting worse and worse and worse, that means God's getting greater and greater and greater. Amen. You just need to believe it for yourself and say, Lord, that's me. Amen. Satan's at Eden here. I want to read this. I'm going to try to move along here a little bit. And Satan got Eve to listen to his gospel of theology, the gospel of knowledge, higher schooling, higher ethics, better civilization, higher education, and so forth. Then when he got her to stop and listen to him a minute, to his reasonings, which we are commanded to cast down. See, not a big wimp that just says, oh God, why'd you let this happen? It's God allowed the devil to put that thought in your head because he gave you the Holy Ghost to take it by the reins and cast it down.
Amen.
Man, say, I can't overcome this. I can't overcome lust. Brother, sister, or brother, really, come back to the Word. Grab that thought by the Holy Ghost and throw it down.
Sure.
Say, that's not me, devil, that's you. You're the liar. You're the luster. You're the adulterer.
Right. Amen.
Amen. When the devil come tell a sister, oh, you just, you know, you need to do a little bit to help yourself because, you know, you're just looking too homely. Stay on the word, sis.
Right.
I said, don't let your cleavage show and all this nonsense that we're letting in.
Right.
Even my wife was talking about how her mom was, you know, they're arguing back and forth about dressing modest. And she said, well, what about your shirt? That's skin tight. And at the time, she didn't really think nothing of it. Now she does.
Yeah.
Well, God showed her, you know what? That is right. We got plenty of sisters just as skin tight as it can be. Ain't right. I'm trying to get us to rapture and faith, but we just got to get plain old normal faith. Plain old faith, just common, decent faith. Just be Christian faith. Just be holy and pure and quit being like the world faith.
Amen.
Then we'll get to rapture and faith. Amen. Cast down these reasonings. To his reason. When he got her to listen to it, now looky here. The church is so-and-so. It's been established for so long. We're one of the oldest churches in the country. The mayor of the city goes here. I don't care what it is, see? If it's against God's word, be against it.
Amen.
That's your enemy. Anything that's against the word is your enemy. Everything that's for the word is your brother. He's a part of you. Amen. See, that's where we got to balance this out. Look, it might be some little thought you have, some little idea, but if you can't establish it by the word, then you just need to let that go and recognize that brother's trying to fight for this message just the same as you are, and he's for the word, you be for him. Amen. So I don't worry about how certain brothers run their churches, how they do this, that without the guidelines of the Word. They want to sing this many songs. They want to do this, that. Sure, that's up to them. I believe God sent us a prophet to do it a certain way, but I can't establish that as thus saith the Lord by the Bible. So I believe I support it with all my heart. Man wants me to come preach for him, wants to stand for this message. Now I'm going to preach it. Don't tell me not to preach it because I'm going to. If you tell me not to, well, then you got the wrong preacher because I don't compromise. Amen. That's right. I can leave the Word for, like I said, these four walls, what we do in here, that's for us, that's sure. But when it comes to what this message told us, how to get a bride ready, it's not time for compromising. If I see women in church wearing makeup, you think I'd be a servant of God and just stand here and say, oh, that's okay? No, I'd say it. Oh, but you can't preach on sin you see in your church because then it's not God anymore. That's just you, Brother Andrew. That's how a lot of people think. That's why it's so hard to listen to pastors instead of an evangelist that comes by and says it. Because you know he don't know, but you don't recognize that the pastor really don't know either. I can't tell you how many things I learned right here behind the pulpit because the Holy Spirit discerned it for me, and then I saw it. And sometimes I even recognize, oh yeah, I should have known that, Lord. Thanks for showing me. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's not us anymore. It's not us by the flesh. The Word has come. The reasoning needs to be cast down that what I was is dead. I'm alive now unto Christ. I am the bride. I'm the one that He was looking for. I'm the one He went on a long journey to get. And I'm not leaving Him now. I don't care who you are. I don't love you more than Him. I don't love me more than Him. Amen. He's my everything. He's my all. And brother, sister, if you're the bride, you've got to have the same confession. Amen. It's got to become an absolute. Hallelujah. And I can't leave this Word. Sure, I've had people say things to me, and especially when I was younger in the faith, and I'd reason with it and say, well, maybe we can do that. Maybe we can do this. But then I go to try to do it and just have that hypocrisy hit me right in the heart. Say, what are we doing here? Remember one time they said we're going to fast and pray for, I can't remember, some need. So I was fasting and praying. And then we were going to pray later that day or something. And I think at the church is what it was. And I was with some of the other young people. And they wanted to go to the mall. I thought we were fasting and praying. So, of course, I didn't, I'm just the new guy on the block. Still feel that way sometimes. But just went along with them. You know what happened? We got them all. I got a blasting headache. Just, man, I was just like, come on, this is killing. You know the first thought I had? I ain't supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be back over there on my knees praying for this need that we want God to answer. So we read Sunday, where's the people that have a vehement desire for the Lord to fulfill His Word? Amen. Sure, He's proclaimed it. Sure, it's going to happen. But that faith should be transferred into us and recognize that it was your outlet of faith that God wrote down in the Word that Word would come to pass because He told you about it so you could become it. You say, is that scriptural? Then why in the world did Samuel go to David before anything happened? Before he was just a sheep herder. He said, come in here, boy. He said, you're the king of Israel, and left. Not another word. Why? Because God gives you the Word that you'll become to give you the faith to become the Word that you will be. Glory to God. Jesus Christ came on this scene. He showed us the sign of the Son of Man. He discerned the hearts without even looking, just like He did in Melchizedek. Why? To show you that that's what you are. Amen. You're the Word again. And by understanding that I am the Word is what gives me the faith, the real rapturing faith to go in a rapture. There will be no one make the rapture that doesn't believe that. You can't get in on works. No way. Not a chance. You might get a healing. You might get this or that with that little man-made faith. But when it comes that I need my body to change in the moment, and twinkle of an eye, you better be all out of the picture because Christ is the only one who can do that. Why? He's the one that made that body in the first place. He's the only one that can bring it back again. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. I'm going to read this quote, and then I got a whole list of them I want to read. You got some time tonight? Are we tired? Well, then go ahead and stand up and praise the Lord a little bit. Maybe wake up. Amen. I love you. It's coming out of the contest, 1965. Brother Bram's preaching New Year's service. They're about to have communion on New Year's and things. I think we might do that next year, just to let you know. But anyways, then he says, The contest, that's right, 1962. Then as we leave this building to go to our different places in our homes and to meet outside and to meet the world, let's not go as we have in former times. Let's go in the power of His resurrection. Let's go in the name of Jesus Christ with a banner lifted high and with faith in His Word to handle the two-edged sword and with the shield and the full armor of God on to meet the enemy, because he's getting stronger and more powerful every day. As the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. And we believe that standard's over there. And God raises that standard up, and then I somehow get on there. No, He raises a standard in you.
Amen.
Amen. You know what? There was things I could do 5 years ago that I can't do today. Because the devil gets a hold of it. Why? Because it's time to grow up.
Amen.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. What? The bride's going to be a mature bride? He ain't going to marry a baby. That's right. Sure, you got to be born again. You understand. But in this age, you come to adoption. You come to where Christ has put the Word in you, to a place where what you say is.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes, sir.
As the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. If we come to the end of these things and the mysteries of God has been completed with us, we are looking for more strength and a rapturing strength to meet a worse force that will rapture the church and take it to glory. We must have it.
Amen.
As I said, this was New Year's service. This is one day after Brother Branham preached services. This is the time. And I showed you how on Sunday that Brother Branham was coming up and he knew that something was about to happen. But he didn't know what it was, and he kept going between he was going to die or he was going to be getting a furtherment of his ministry. He said, if I'm going to die, he said, then it's already in there. He said, that's a man who knows where he stands. He knows, and I'll read it, what he's coming from. It's out of the Absolute, 1962. This is the morning before he preaches, sir, is this the time? He said, I remember when he swept down there in that big light standing yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent forth and forerun the first coming of Christ, I will send you with a message to the world to forerun the second coming of Christ. And around the world she went. When revival fires have been built for 15 years now on nearly every mountain, divine healing across the nations and the power and restoration. And now I believe she is ready to strike that final climax, younger, to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory. And she is laying in the messages. You know, people say rapture and faith in the tapes. This is what they're really trying to quote. He's saying that faith that will bring her into glory is laying in the messages. We're really at the end time. We've talked about it and everything, but the thing has moved upon us now. Yeah, yes, sir. Here it is, one. That's right. So that's what I'm saying. He said if I was dying, that it's already in those messages. It has to be there because the prophecy already said, as John the Baptist came, this message has to forerun. So if I'm leaving the scene, it's already on the tapes. He found out, no, I'm not leaving the scene. And God came and showed him, no, it wasn't. It's not all there. Oh, sure, it's in them tapes. Don't get me wrong. But you needed the opening of the Word. You needed to get out of denominationalism. Before, we would have been stuck in it. And too many are still stuck in it, believing some Jewish fable that we got to have this. We got to have presbyters. And we got to be, you know, this minister's got to be ordained, this one and this one and this one. And you're just a Presbyterian.
Amen.
If God calls a man, let him preach. That's right. If God calls a Christian, let him serve the Lord. Amen. Don't get in the way. As Brother Branham said, if I ain't got faith for the Word to move, I'm not going to speak to anybody that does. I'll say, praise God for brother that's got faith.
Amen.
Amen. Because it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Word.
Amen.
It's about Jesus Christ. Brother, you got to go tonight? I got to give him a hug. God bless you, Brother Kent. How many appreciates Brother Kent tonight? He's got to take his brother to work. Praise the Lord. All right. Now let me read you another one. Like I said, I got a few here I want to finish on. So is this the time, 1962. But this one, that's capital O, this one didn't come from the earth. He come down from heaven. Because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said time should be no more. And the seven thunders throw their voices out. What if it is something to let us know how to enter into rapturing faith? Oh my. Is it? Will we run, leap over walls, and is there something fixing to happen? And these old, moral, vile bodies are going to be changed. Can I live to see it, O Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? Is it this generation, sir, is my brother, and what time is it? Where are we at? A little bit later, and I read this Sunday, I want to read again. I don't know, sirs, I don't know, sirs. I'm only honest with you. As my brothers, I don't know. Is it time? Is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? He's saying, is it already done? Am I dying and it's over? Is that really them seven thunders, though? Oh, my. Fixing to utter out yonder to that little group that is gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go in the rapture when he comes? Is it where it is? See, that's the thing. Brother Branham said, if I'm going to die, it's already in those tapes. But if I'm not, it's in the thunders God's going to bring us.
Amen.
So we don't have to find, how am I going to get raptured in faith? What do I got to do? Do I got to fast and pray? Do I got to do this? Do I got to do that? No. It's here.
Amen.
It's come.
Yes.
And this is the only peace the Christian finds. If you're finding peace in the comforts of this life, you're being deluded by the devil.
Amen.
But if you find peace in what God said, that he sent me Elijah, he sent me not just the man, but the word that came to me. He sent me the word that he prophesied, that the message would forerun the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And it's come to pass in me that I've heard those seven thunders go off. Have you heard it?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Yes.
And it's revealed what to you?
Amen.
That before there was a world, you were.
Amen.
Before there was sin, before there was a devil, you already had the victory. Before you could mess up your life in sin, Christ had already determined you're sealed in.
Amen.
That's what makes this scripture live. I want to read 1 John chapter 5. And if you really want a book to get an absolute, read 1 John. It's full of absolutes. That's right. 1 John 5. Just one verse here. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Yes.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even our faith. Even my faith. Paul said, I've preached unto you, or you'll be saved by my gospel. Why? Because him and the word have become one. It had become no more Paul after the flesh. He said, the things I want to do, I don't do. He said, the thing that's my flesh, though. He said, because me, I'm the man on the inside that loves the things of God. I'm the one that has the mind of Christ. That other man is not me.
Amen.
Amen. The gospel that's come is Jesus Christ. That's in me now. Glory to God. And it's become my gospel. The faith that the Son of God had. Paul said, I have that faith now.
Amen.
It's become me. And now it's coming this day. That same faith. And what is it? It's become a rapturing faith. In other ages, it was victory over sin. Sure, it was for the lion to go out roaring against the denominational spirit that came on the age. It came on the ox for them to give their lives. It came for the man to reason against the devil and say, wait a minute, it's just a kosher. It's not the body of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wait, we can't work our way into heaven. There's something wrong with us somewhere. Come on. But then it came to the eagle. It said, get off the ground. Quit dealing with that devil. Remember, he goes as a roaring lion. Why? He's just a little kitty cat. But he's still on the ground.
Amen.
You know what eagles do? They'll eat a cat if they need to. That's right. They'll swoop down, grab him right up. Brother, that's you. That's you. It's time to quit letting somebody else be an eagle. You be an eagle.
Amen.
Amen. Get your wings of faith and start flying and recognize that the faith of Christ is in me.
Amen.
And that faith that has been put into me is what the Bible said is the victory of the cross. Even my faith. My faith to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to pray today.
Amen.
My faith to say, Satan, get out of my house. I'm not listening to your voices no more.
Amen.
Amen. The voice that tells me, I'm going to kick my TV out.
Yeah.
And I'm going to pray before you, Lord. Tired of listening to other voices. I was even talking to his dad about this the other day. Just in life, there's so many voices anymore. I can't stand it. I hate everything that's in this world. Why? Not because it's necessarily even bad in itself. It's just getting me away from the one I love.
Amen.
Why do we hate going to work? Because you want to be with the people you love. It might be a good job. You might have good friends. But at the end of the day, I want to be with my wife.
Uh-huh.
Oh, come on now. Now lift up into heavenly places. There's been churches, brides, churches. But there's got to come one.
Amen.
That not only has the mechanics, but has the dynamics. That has that faith in them to do the same works that the Son of Man did. And every rung of faith that you have in life, do you recognize is building up more rapturing faith?
Sure.
It's building it up all the time. But if you're not doing any of that, how are you going to have anything to base your faith on?
Right.
If you can't overcome the simplest of things, as Jesus said, if I can't even teach you earthly things, how am I going to teach you heavenly? If you can't, he told Nicodemus, he said, you got to be born again.
He said, and he's like, what are you talking about? I got to go back to my mother's womb. He said, you're a master in Israel and you don't understand this? How do you even serve the Lord till you're born again? I want a lot of message preachers to start saying that one. You're telling these people they can serve the Lord and you know they ain't born again? Why even bother with their hair yet? Why even bother with them? Trying to live holy and things. They don't even got the Holy One in them. If you're not converted, you will live like the world. We can all say amen because we probably tried it. We probably sat in a church and said, oh, but I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to do this and that. And you didn't. And the devil won. Why? Because that was too much of your own faith and not the faith that God would give you. Hallelujah. All right, let me finish here. Praise the Lord. I really want to read these. The first seal, 1963. And then this is right when the seals open, obviously. And there's coming forth seven mysterious thunders. It's not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something we've got to step farther. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, Lord willing, find where it's written. Countdown 1964. Now listen to this. And Father, so many things could be said right here. Maybe the church wouldn't understand. But I pray that you'll give them such a crave for it, Lord, that they'll come and see we're at the end time, the astronaut age. I pray, Father, that they'll realize it isn't trying to condemn what they had. It's only trying to give them more rapturing grace. You see how that goes hand in hand? Recognizing the grace of God is what gave me this faith in the first place. For the hour will come when we'll have to have rapture power, not only to heal the body, but to change it in the moment, in the twinkle of an eye. Christ will be so real into their bodies till he can change it by his great death and what he purchased. May they take this today, the token that I spoke of last night, hold it before them and walk into this astronaut. Grant it, Father, where visions, powers, and worlds beyond known, oh God, where all the great mysteries of God is unfolded in them seventh seals and made known unto man. Grant it, Father. And I want to quote from the token. It says that I'm looking for that time to break forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're now living in, for another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church, for a rapturing faith just before it comes. And many people stop right there and say, we're waiting on it. We're waiting on it. We're waiting on it. We got to wait on it because it's not here yet. Brother Bram noticed the church wasn't ready. Right. Sure he did. Of course he did. Because even though he had preached the seals, he said, there ain't but five people here that even know what I'm talking about. There's hardly anybody who's really got a revelation. Why? Because they were looking at doctrine, 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 and didn't see Christ, 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 Christ. I'm going to give you a real powerful one here in a minute. But he's saying, I'm waiting for a surge of the Holy Ghost. Why? A quickening from God of what the seals have already shown us. And you have to believe that God has been doing that to us. God is bringing us surges of the Holy Ghost to show us what those seals were about. I'll tell you what, 5 years ago, just as a personal testimony, I couldn't tell you what I knew about it then. I just knew what they were. You know, you got the white horse. But I never recognized, what is it all about? Why would God need to do this? Why was it necessary? Why did Brother Branham go under such flack for this? Then you see the revelation.
Amen.
And recognize that behind those seals, behind that Christ, behind Jesus was a bride. And she wasn't a different spirit. She was the same one. She wasn't made of something else. She was the same word again in the last day. That was in the first day. Said, I'm looking time for a break forth of the Spirit of God in these last days that we're now living in. For another surge of the Holy Spirit into the church. For a rapturing faith just before it comes. And everything is sitting straight in order for that. Everything's fulfilled for it. And I believe that we're now at the time that the Word should have preeminence. And I believe that the time to lay aside our creeds and our thoughts and come back to the Word. Brother Bram says this as I close. Listen. This side of the trial, he's discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart and things. He says this statement. He says, I challenge you to believe that Jesus Christ is revealed in the form of the Son of Man in human flesh through the bride's body. You catch what he said there. He said, I challenge you to believe. This is after the seals are open and the word's beginning to move forth in the prophet now. He said, I challenge you to believe that what you're watching right now is literally the same Son of Man that walked on the earth, on the shores of Galilee, is now here today in this vessel here. And he said, not just me, but the bride's body. The bride's body, the whole body that we're coming. Do you feel that presence even here now? He's here with us. Why? Because we're a part of Him. Wherever we are, He is. That's what gives us rapturing faith, is that, look, if Christ is leaving the earth to bring the tribulation down, then I've got to go with Him because I'm a part of Him. And that's what gives me rapturing faith. Look, you're the one that's going to wake up and recognize it's time to go. And we'll be in such a place. You won't worry about your wife because you know she'll get it. You won't worry about your children because you got a token all over them.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
And you'll know it's time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you'll just feel that moving of the Holy Ghost on you. Look, it's what he says, just another surge of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Some people just need to get the Holy Ghost in the first place. How are you going to get another surge you ain't got in the first place?
Right.
Just got to keep it balanced. But only one day we'll just see that dead one. Or not dead. We think they're dead. They ain't dead. They're alive. Watch them walk by and say, that's it. That's
it.
Jesus. And if we're living for anything else, we're not living. We're dying. Because here you're dying. Your job, it's dying. This building, it's dying. But the Word is alive forevermore. Herein lies rapture and faith. Herein, recognizing that the seals were open to show you who you are. Not a catchphrase. That you and Him are one.
Exactly.
That wherever He is, you have to be there. Look, you're not stealing the throne. You were always there.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made for... let me just read it. I always quote it wrong when I go off my head. Are you enjoying the Word tonight?
Amen.
I'm enjoying Him. That's right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I wonder who was with Him. And the Word was God. In verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We become the only begotten of the Father. Then John pulled it around. He says, any spirit that tells you that Jesus Christ is not in the flesh is the Antichrist. The same Word that was in the beginning, it became expressed in the fullness in Christ. After He died, and remember, they stabbed Him on the side. Why? God had to open Him up like He did Adam. And out first was forth the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Oh my. He went and took. Remember, His body was just the atonement. That's why people get so messed up with Trinitarian doctrine. The body, sure, the body could die, the Spirit couldn't. That's where they get a Trinity, but it's the same person. The body died. Look, your dead loved ones, their bodies are dead, but they're alive.
Amen.
Jesus' body went down to hell, took the keys, came back, made the atonement. And then that same Spirit, now that there was a blood made way, aren't you happy? A blood paved highway, the Holy Ghost could come back into you.
Amen.
That part of God that you always were, as Pentecost, the day of Pentecost said there was tongues of fire. It wasn't them speaking in tongues necessarily. It's that the fire, the pillar of the fire, is broken up all over the room.
Yeah.
And it began to fill each one. And they began to shout for joy. Why? Because of what I feel like tonight. The Holy Spirit saw me, showing me who I am.
Amen.
I'm not afraid of these people. If God be for me, who can be against me?
Amen.
And that's what made Peter do what we just read there. He went out there and said, look, this is that.
Amen.
That was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. Your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams. And they said, you're all drunk. He said, no, we're not. I was afraid of you a little bit ago, but that was me. Now it's Christ.
Amen.
Glory to God. And he began to say, you uncircumcised heart and ear. That was Stephen, you understand. But he told him, he tore him up. He tore him up. He said, with wicked hands, you crucified him. You took the Lord, you said you served, and you crucified Him. I think we need that voice in the message again today. That the Word that you claim to serve, too many are crucifying it with their own thoughts, their own doctrines. We need to die to all of that. Because what He said, with wicked hands, you've killed the Lord. They said it pricked them in their heart. Oh, praise God, they could still be moved on. Too many is just too cold a heart to even get saved anymore. But they got pricked on their heart and said, what do we do? And he pulled out his stack of message books and said, okay, go read these. And then go read your Bible and do this work. And then come back and let me know. He said, repent. Baptize in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. For the promise is unto you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. To your children, and as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How did he know that God was calling? Because God was in him. Yes. He knew that, that's why the word was going forth, because it was finding those souls. And they added 3,000 to the church in one day. I challenge you now to believe that this word that we hold in our hands, these messages that we have, it wasn't Brother Branham. It's not just paper. It was God giving us a mirror to see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. That the same Holy Spirit that's on me even tonight is the same thing that came on Jesus when he took the book from the priest. And he read, I believe it was Isaiah 61, says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captives, to set the captives free, and those in prison, let them loose, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Brother Branham said that was the greatest anointing ever hit the earth. And he closed the book, handed it back to the preacher. He said, this day the scripture is fulfilled. Amen. And he just stood there. Shortly thereafter, they were running him out of town. But that was still the Messiah. The same thing's happening today with those that are staying with the Word. Sure, they'll cast you out, but don't worry, they can't kick you out. They're only pushing you up. Amen. That's right. We think, oh no, the squeeze, oh no, the squeeze. Well, yeah, if you're stuck on the world, you're just getting squeezed in. But if you're starting to go up, it's just squeezing you right up. That's right. It's pushing the mountain right together for to put New Jerusalem right on top of it. Glory to God. Let's stand together tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him. Let's thank Him for His Word.
Blessed be Your name, Father.
Thank You, Jesus.
Lord, blessed be Your name, Jesus.
Let's sing that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's F-Dad.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes. Worship Him now.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored.
Yes, You are, Lord.
Oh, so we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name.
Thank You, Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yeah. Just bless His name tonight.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands, one accord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be.
Sounds so good. Don't you like blessing Him? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Blessed be the name.
Worship Him, children. Rise in the faith.
He is worthy.
God's called you out of the world. Come on, to be one of His. Thank You, Lord.
Lift up holy hands. One accord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I love you.
Thank
Father.
You, Lord. Appreciate what he's done for you.
Praise you, praise you.
Do you love him with all your heart?
You
just want to dedicate yourself anew? Hallelujah. Say, Lord, I believe in rapture and faith. I believe it's lying in my soul. Let me always make this word an absolute to me. And Lord, you opened the seals for me. That you brought the word to me to show me who I am. I believe it with all my heart. May I never doubt you, Lord. But may I always believe your promises. Hold true to that word no matter who denies it. May I be a voice in the last day of the truth. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, children, look your eyes up north towards the Lord, towards where we're going to meet him. Hallelujah. That's the presence we feel now is where we'll spend eternity. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you, blessed Jesus.
Glory to God.
Praise God.
Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
So glad I'm yours. So aren't you happy tonight? Thank you, Jesus.
So glad your mercy has followed me.
Thank you, Lord.
So glad you found me. Oh, and you set me free. Jesus.
Just keep worshiping now. Just keep worshiping. Brother Graham says this at the end of the communion service. He says, let us stand on our feet now, each one of us. The context is on each one of you, the content. Paul said, forgetting those things which are in the past, all our mistakes of last year, I press towards the mark of the high calling. All mistakes that I've made in all these years, forgive me for them. God, forgive me. Church, forgive me. And the ministry that I failed with, I feel, God, forgive me for it. Church, forgive me of my mistakes. Press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Whatever tomorrow holds, I don't know, but I know who holds 1963. Let us raise our hands to God now. Let us pray in our own way. And as we make our confessions, we ask God to help us through this next coming year. Heavenly Father, as we stand here, as many thoughts as dying out in our hearts, and of the mistakes of last year, as we're approaching the death of 62 and the birth of 63, just make it 15 and 16. Oh God, may we be one step higher up the ladder until we can see Jesus and His program. Everyone here, Lord, in prayer, while the old year is dying and the new birth of the new year is coming in, and the old man, sin and unbelief die out in our hearts, and the new birth coming with the 1963, like a rushing mighty wind that'll fill our being and make us new creatures in Christ. Make us fit servants. Forgive our past. Bless our future. Guide us, O Lord God, with thy mighty hand, Jehovah. Bless these ministers here. Bless all the lady, all the visitors. Be thou with us, Lord. We are your servants. We give ourselves wholly to you for 1963. That the power of your Spirit might have more preeminences in our life and in our beings. Help us, God. Forgive us and help us, we pray. Raise up mighty men. Raise up mighty warriors of the faith. Open this year, Lord, that hidden manna, that rock beneath, or that rock, the capital, or that rock beneath the rock, that we might see the program of God. Cap off the pyramids of our life, Lord. Put the capstone, Christ Jesus, upon each and every one of us. His great, magnificent, holy blessings be upon us all. May the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon us. May the power of the resurrection be manifested. God, how we thank you tonight. We are yours. We give ourselves fully to you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think if the prophet could say that, and all that he did and all his sacrifices, and humble enough to say, Lord, forgive me for not doing everything I could. Lord, I've failed in so many ways. We can all say amen. But let's take that and bury it away. Bury it in the cross. Bury it in Calvary. Say, Lord, that was the past, but we're forgetting those things that are behind. We're pressing forth in faith. Let's say, Lord, we believe in rapture and faith. We're not settling for anything less. We're not planning on staying on this earth. And anything, children of God, that ties you down, this is the time to cut it out of your life. Is there any soul here? Just say, Lord, I just want to be right with you. I just want to serve you with all my heart. I want just a new surge of the Holy Ghost in my life. Keep me away from all these things of the world. And Lord, may I be a soldier. May I not be a coward, but may I be a soldier to take the battle front, to be there for you, Lord. When nobody else will witness of you, Lord, you can count on me. When nobody else will say what's true, Lord, I'll be a voice to this age, that through my voice, which is really your word through me, someone might be saved. God bless you, children of God. Believe it with all your heart. Pray that with all the sincerity, and God will answer you. He'll use you mightily this year, and He's ever used you before. Even tomorrow, open your heart and say, Lord, wherever I am, let me be a witness of you. Not just in word, not just in doctrine, but in power. In my behavior, in the way I talk, the way I act, my hands up too, church. I'm not proud. I'm not stuck up. I need the help of the Lord more now than I ever have. I'm so much more dependent on Him now than I've ever been because I've recognized what a mess I make of things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Bram got done praying. He said, we thank you, Lord. Why? Because he prayed and he believed it. He believed what he said and he believed that he was where he was supposed to be now. Believe it now with all your heart. As we stay in this atmosphere of prayer, just real quick tonight, if there's anyone who'd like to come forward with a need and like me to pray with you, let's do that now. Now yield yourself to the Spirit of God. He's all over this place.
What a presence of God. Man, I just speak in tongues right here. I'd rather speak with my understanding. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my, if you have a need, come now. Hallelujah. Come sincerely. Come believing. Come focused on Jesus. Think on Jesus. Think on Jesus. Is there anyone else? Don't shy. I might already know. So if you got a need, you might as well just go ahead and come on. And say, Lord, I want to be free of this. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him in the Spirit as we pray. Jesus, I agree with Him as well that You're the healer, Lord. Satan, You brought this pain, but we reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. We apply this prayer of faith on my brother's throat and his knee. Heal him more and make him well. Let his voice and body be used for Your glory. Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Yes, Lord. Sing this one a little bit faster, but I like to just sing it kind of like we are now. So hit it again.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to.
Oh, just lift your hands to me now.
I'll say yes.
Tonight, yes, Lord.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust.
Oh, trust Him with all your heart, children. God has given us rapture and faith. Oh, somebody's trying to run out and find it somewhere. And I'm packing it. I feel good. I'm packing it. Say, that's silly. No, I'm packing it. I believe it. God, put it in me. I'm getting out of this place. I don't want to say it. How about He's never failed me yet? Can we say that? That might be an F, actually. Hallelujah.
Let's sing now, hand the service. You enjoyed the Lord tonight? Let's praise Him one more time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
He never fails.
God bless you, sir.